What a privilege to participate in this wonderful occasion, to be here with you. The honor is entirely mine. And I thank the Lord for the love that you have always shown to me when I've been here. And I certainly don't want to take any attention off your celebration for this very special occasion. So a lot of milestones represented here in this event. The milestone of 40 years of pastoral ministry, and the milestone of 75 years for this church. That is a tremendous testimony. And the work that you have done, and that you will no doubt continue to do, brings great honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I commend you, and I'm thankful for you, and I am honored to have the privilege of bringing the message for this very wonderful occasion. And I know that both Dr. Winham and all of you as well desire that Christ have the preeminence in this event and that His Word be proclaimed. And so it is my happy privilege to open the Scriptures tonight and not to try to say anything clever or have anything to do with my contribution to this event. It is just my happy privilege to be honored to be included. And I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me to come. And as always, I wish my wife could have been here. She loves you. She loves this church. She loves the Lord. And she loves me. And I'm thankful for that. Okay. And so I'm very glad that she has encouraged me to come and to serve and to be here with you. And pray for her as she continues to struggle with her health. Many of you have asked me how she's doing. And I guess if I were to draw a little chart, it would be like this. But if you looked at the trend, it would be declining a bit. And so thank you for your prayers for her and for your love for her. And it'll be a glorious day when we're all together for eternity with the Lord and can enjoy each other. And as I prayed about what the Lord would have me to bring to encourage you on this very special occasion, I thought that the theme of Thanksgiving is something that I should focus on in the message. And then all the emphases that we've had here in the service tonight and the things that we anticipate even yet for tomorrow, that is a very appropriate theme for us to think about. And that is Thanksgiving. And there is a psalm of Thanksgiving that I would like to visit with you for just a little bit this evening. And that is Psalm 116. Psalm 116, a psalm or song of Thanksgiving. And it is indeed a wonderful Thanksgiving psalm. We celebrate the event of Thanksgiving in November in our country. It's a wonderful time. And here we are now in May expressing our Thanksgiving here in Sydney, Australia, in Carnival Park Bible Church. It was my privilege to go to Israel again in March of this year. My 9th trip there. My 10th trip is scheduled for this January at an overlapping time with the trip that a number of you are going to take. It was our great joy last year to be able to go to Israel with the Matthews and the year before with the Christies and perhaps even some others here at different times. I would hope and pray that all of you would have the great privilege of having your life impacted in the wonderful way that a visit to Israel alone can do. You'll never read the Bible the same having been there. And it will change you. And it will be a blessing and a help to you. So I encourage you to prayerfully consider that. And no doubt I'll overflow a bit more on that tomorrow. But in the messages. But while we're there in Israel, one of the things that we do, either on the last day or the next to the last day, while we're visiting Israel, is we go to the site where we believe the upper room was located. Now, it's not in the room that's there now, but the room that we visit is in a building that we believe was on the site where the building was when the upper room was used there on that last night of our Lord's earthly life, so to speak, before his death, burial, and resurrection. And we go to that place and we think about what took place there as the Lord Jesus instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. And of course, on that Passover celebration, they would sing a number of psalms, among them Psalm 116. So on that very special night of our Lord's sacrifice for us, he would have given thanks for the bread and the cup. Thanks for the representation of his own broken body and shed blood, which was to occur that very night. Thankfulness for his sacrifice. That was our Lord's prayer. To express his thankfulness for the privilege of sacrificing himself for our salvation. And as we think about what has occurred here this evening, and in the dinner that preceded our fellowship time here, and all the things that have built us up to this moment, I think it's very appropriate that we should look at a psalm that talks to us about the ability to be thankful for the sacrifices that have been made. Don't you think? And certainly we have heard tonight about a family and about people who have gathered alongside that family for all these many years and made incredible sacrifices to bring praise and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we gather here tonight in thankfulness for the privilege of sacrificing together in the cause of Christ. But we're also thankful as we look forward to the opportunities that lie ahead to continue to make sacrifices for the cause of Christ. And so I call you tonight to thanksgiving for the sacrifices that have been made, first by our Lord, and then by his servants, as we anticipate the great blessings that are yet to come. And as the Lord would have sung, no doubt, this song with his disciples, let's read just a few of its words as we begin, and more as we continue. Verse 1 says, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Let's pause there for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word tonight and to express our love for you as the psalmist has done. To think about the fact, Lord Jesus, that you sang these words with your disciples the night of your sacrifice for us, or the night before that crucifixion that would come in the morning. And Lord, I pray that you would give us tonight a new appreciation, a new depth of love and understanding, that we can sing this song of thanksgiving even in the most difficult times of our lives. And as we think back over 40 years of service by our dear brother and 75 years of faithful witness in this community and far beyond by this church, no doubt there have been tonight in the minds of many memories not only of joy and accomplishment and the fruit of long effort and labor and giving and sacrifice, but also hardship, attack, misunderstanding, no doubt departure perhaps of some before their time, and Lord, all the other things, joy, sorrow, and tears expressed in both. And as those memories flood the minds of these who are here and remember them, I pray that the stabilizing anchor throughout all that thinking would be the truth that we see here before us in Psalm 116. Use me now in these moments to be your messenger, to be a blessing to these people and bring honor to your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. When we read about that event that night and the institution of what we know as the Lord's Supper, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out. Perhaps this very hymn. Certainly this was one of the ones that were sung on that occasion. You know, it's easy for us to be really thankful for the things that make us happy. When life is easy. But it's essential to be thankful for everything. And I see that in you as a congregation. Joyful spirit, happily working together. It's amazing when I walked into that room tonight and I imagine how much work it took just to get ready for this evening. And all the effort and preparation that went into the food and then to serve it and then to clean up after it and all the other things. I've watched that in the church that I've gone to for many years now and seen the busyness of the people. I don't mean this in the wrong way, but in a lot of ways it reminds me of a colony of ants. Have you ever noticed a colony of ants? If you disturb their little anthill, as it were, before you've finished walking through their home, they're busy building it back. Scurrying about, rebuilding, collecting, picking up, as though some great human hurricane has just blown through their little abode. And before you can walk away from it, they're putting it back together, recovering their loss and working ahead. And the writer of Scripture tells us, go to the ant. Take lesson from that. And you have done that. And I'm amazed every time I come to see how the Lord is using you. And it's such a wonderful thing to be welcomed by you into what God is doing here with you. So praise the Lord for that. And let's take a look at this psalm with the perspective that we can maintain that thankful spirit even when things don't turn out the way we wish they would, or when we're disappointed, or when we're set back. And I saw some of the setbacks and some of the attacks that you've endured and weathered and gotten through and become stronger because of in the presentation that began this evening. Three things from this psalm, three stanzas in this song. And the first is in the first 9 verses. Be thankful that the Lord answers with His grace. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God's grace is what sustains us, gets us through, and helps us. And you know, He'll answer you with His grace when you're in danger. You've been in danger. You'll be in danger again. The world's in danger right now, rushing headlong to destruction and has no clue, no idea what's coming. We do. We know that it might get worse before it gets better, but we also know it will get better. When the King of Kings comes, delivers us, establishes His 1,000-year reign on this earth. Tonight, as several of us were talking about it, the thought went through my mind that I wonder if maybe one of the great purposes of the 1,000 years is to give us some time just to rejoice with each other before the eternal state. There's never enough time, it seems like, when we get together and visit each other and we always long for the opportunity to do it again. Maybe that's one of the things that the millennium will do, but certainly it will be our time just to adore our Savior face to face and see what He has done, and He'll help us understand all the things that we've been through. He tells us here in these first 2 verses that we've read that the present assurance that we enjoy is rooted in the past answers that we have seen. For us to remember what God has done is to give us confidence and hope for what He will do. Look at those verses again. He says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. One of the greatest strengthening influences in our lives is to realize that the Lord's been there all the time. He's answered us. He's helped us. He's sustained us. As you look back over all the pictures that you saw tonight of all the things that you've done together, and at the time, no doubt, you were weary. And at times you must have, if you're like everybody else on earth, you must have run out of money and you must have run out of energy and run out of resources and thought, will this ever be finished? And you built and you prayed and you worked and you kept up all that work. And now you look around and think, I remember that. Some of you here, you've had your hands on every square inch of this place. Literally. And you remember the fellowship that you enjoyed and the tears that you shed and the drops of sweat that fell from your face while you were working on all these things. When I come back, like I have this time, and go into the classroom and see these young people. I told the folks about it, I think, last night. From the first graders, I think I looked every one of the kids that were present yesterday in the eye and spoke to them just briefly. And they gave me their names and made the little connections with them there. And the little ones just starting out with their joyful anticipation and uncertainty about some things. And as we went through each class and finally we came up to the juniors and the seniors. And as I sat there and connected with those seniors and thought to myself, these young people have been prepared. They're ready. They're going to graduate before long and move on to the next phase and the step of their lives, and they'll begin their careers and find their mates and serve God out there on their own. And what a great investment has been made in their lives here in this place. It's hard sometimes to see it all in that rapid unfolding when you're day by day plugging along. But remember that God has heard your prayers and He's answered and met your needs. And you're able to say, I love the Lord. Why? Because He first loved you. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, we love Him because He first loved us. And this psalm of thanksgiving is a testimony of the realization that God has loved us. And that's why we can say to Him, I love you. Long before your children can fully express their love to you, you have expressed your love to them. Have you not? Before they can ever do anything to be a blessing to you, they are a blessing to you because they are, and they are yours. And so it is with us and the Lord. He loves us. He commended His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is causeless. There's nothing that we do to cause Him to love us. There is something that He did to cause us to love Him. He went to the cross and He died for us. That's the expression of His love. And our assurance today comes from all those many times He has expressed His love to us in answering our prayers when we needed Him. But not only does our present assurance come from His past answers, but when we make powerful appeals to Him from our painful anguish, He wants us to call on Him. What does He say to us in verse 3 and 4? The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. To live on this earth is to know that. In this life you shall have tribulation, He says. But be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. What's the psalmist saying? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God puts us in a situation where we cry out to Him? All He wants from us is for us to cry out to Him. To call Him Lord. And to call from a heart of love and devotion and genuine need. When you hear the quiet cry of one of your children in the night, you respond. You go. You help. The Lord, unlike us, is never weary, never put out, never frustrated, but He immediately hears and answers. I will call upon Him as long as I live. the dear man in my church. I've told some of you this story since I've been here. Dear man in our church, he was an evangelist all through his ministry career. And his health was broken, and he and his wife had to move to a place not far from our church so they could be near their son and his family and get the help that they needed from their daughter as well. And on his 83rd birthday, dear Brother Bob Walmsley and I were just chatting about his long years of ministry. And I said, "Bob, 83 years. Have you lived around here all of your life?" And he said, "Not yet." In other words, I'm still here, and I'm still going to serve him, and I don't know how long I'll have. But I'm here in church, and I'll be here as long as I can. And it got to the place where somebody had to go get them and drive them to church and then take them home because they couldn't drive anymore. Well, he's with the Lord now, and his wife's still alive. And as long as she lives, she'll call out to the Lord, and she'll love him. What a testimony. That's the testimony of your church. We none of us have any idea how long we'll be here. But to say and to mean it and to do it, that we'll call on the Lord as long as we'll live, that's the expression of genuine thanksgiving. He not only hears us when we call out to him when we're in danger, but he hears us and answers us when we need deliverance of any kind from anything. In verses 5 through 9, he reminds us again to remember what he's done for us. "Gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me." In other words, I don't understand all the complexities of it. I just feel his needs and the pain in my life, and I cry out to God, and he hears me. My simple prayer, when the only words that I can frame are, "Oh, Lord, help." Have you ever prayed like that? I had to tell a man one time that his son had been killed. And I remember his simple prayer. "Oh Lord, help us." And the Lord heard his prayer and gave him grace to get through that. And sometimes that's the only prayer we can frame. And you've done that. And you've cried out to him. And he has helped you. Gracious. The Lord is always flowing grace to his people. Flowing his grace out to this world that rejects him and doesn't trust him and doesn't love him and rebels against him. And his mercies are renewed every morning to those who call out to him. And all a person would need to do to appropriate that grace is simply ask for it. Simply come to the Lord. And even much grace comes our way that we never even ask for or thank him for when he gives it to us. Remember all that he's done for you in saving you and in strengthening you. Sometimes we're the simpletons in verse 6. Sometimes we're brought low. And we're brought low and humbled so that we can again be reminded of his grace and his goodness when he helps us out of our humiliation. But remember what he will do for you. He says in verse 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." What's the psalmist saying? God has been good to me. He's been so good to me. His mercy, his grace is so wonderful. And as you think back over all the things that have taken place in your time here at church, and look back even before you came and how God had his hand on this place and how he raised it up and how in obedience the founders of this church put it in place and those who followed after them have kept it where it belongs. And here we are tonight, gathered together to celebrate what God has done and to sing like this psalmist of all the things he's done. And therefore, we are determined to walk before him as long as we live. We are determined that because we have believed him, therefore we're going to speak. Even though we were greatly afflicted, he says in verse 11, "I said in my haste," you can't trust anybody. You can't turn to other people. Apostasy can be discouraging. Compromise can be discouraging. And if we're not careful, we'll all find ourselves under the juniper tree. I've spent a lot of time there. Nobody's standing but me. Oh, that's not so. And when we start feeling like that, the Holy Spirit says to us, just as he said to Elijah, oh, no, no. There are many, many that you don't know about that are still standing for me. Thank God for that. The Lord knows who his people are, and he knows who the obedient people are. And he'll sustain you, and he'll encourage you. And we need to take our encouragement not from others who are like us, but from the one whom we need to be like all the time. David, when everyone was against him, encouraged his heart in the Lord. And this psalmist is saying that very same thing. He's going to answer you when you need deliverance. So let's be thankful when he brings this grief into our life that we read about in verses 10 through 15. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 103 that he remembers our frame. He knoweth that we are dust. He knows where he came from. He knows we're weak. Just like we know our children. And we love them even when they're whining and complaining and crying and feeling sorry for themselves and all the burdens of life like homework and all those kinds of things. He understands. He understands us when we act the same way towards him. He knows that we came from the dust, and he knows that we're going to return to the dust. After those two verses we just read in 10 and 11, look what he says in 12 through 15. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, look, when I get my eyes off the Lord and I put my eyes on my problems, I get frustrated with people who failed me. I get frustrated with my own failure of the Lord. I get discouraged. You say, well, preacher, I've never felt that way. If you think you've never had a problem, you've really got a problem. Okay? We all have problems, and we all sometimes doubt and fail to call on the Lord as soon as we should. But the psalmist, when he's reminded of all God's blessings, says, I'm going to rededicate myself to obeying and trusting the Lord yet again. And that's the need of the hour. As we gather together tonight for Thanksgiving, let's remember, the greatest expression of thanksgiving that we could give the Lord tonight for what he has done over all these years, for what we've learned and benefited from, and all the blessings that you've received from your dear pastor, to determine, I'm going to do what he's taught us. I'm going to do what God expects of us. I'm going to redouble my efforts and dedicate myself afresh tomorrow. This is not an ending. This is a beginning. It really is. It's the beginning, if the Lord should tarry, of the next 75 years. And boy, I'll tell you this. Sydney needs this church. Australia needs this church. The world needs this church. Whenever I come here, it revives my soul. I told Brother Matthews today, this trip, like the others that I've made here, is like a wonderful retreat for me. It really is. To come to this place, to see you at work, and to thank God for you, and to think that you would ask me back is just, it's an overwhelming blessing for me. It really is. So thank you. I'm thankful. I want you to see my thanksgiving tonight as I am able to enjoy with you your thanksgiving for all these things that God has done. So let's all together tonight just say, Lord, if you give us another day, we give that day to you. May we use every breath that you intend to give us to glorify your name and to keep serving you and loving you. And remember, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, he says. Why? Because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What does that mean? That means that when the Lord finally retires one of his servants, that is a very costly thing. You spend your whole life preparing to serve the Lord, and then it's over. The Lord takes you home. And when the Lord takes one of his people home, or when the Lord moves one of his people on, and I've watched that happen many, many times in my life, and no doubt will yet. And someday the time will come when the Lord takes me home. And what he's saying to all of us is that to take one of his servants out of the work is a great cost to the cause. We think about our dear friend, Dr. Bob Jones Jr., who went to be with the Lord in 1997. I was so honored to know him. To experience his love and kindness. He was like a grandfather to me. He really was. He didn't single me out. It wasn't that it was all that special. It's just that I always positioned myself to receive those blessings that were coming away from him. And just be around him, you see. To listen to him and to love him and to be loved by him. Now he's gone from us. And he's with his Savior. It's costly to us and costly to the cause. I don't know where my generation would be if we hadn't had him. And when I think about the fact that he strengthened me and all of my peers, the only thing I can do in return is to try to take up a little bit of the task that he is now finished with on this earth. And to dedicate myself to standing firm and holding up that banner and to doing what he taught me. And I am saying to us tonight here, to you as a church family, I know that's how you feel, but I just want to commend you in that. Take up the banner that has been raised before you and keep it high for the generation yet to come. And someday we'll stand before the Lord, and if there is the millennial slide program of all the things that we've been able to see and rejoice in, won't that be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful as the Lord recounts all of it for us? Maybe Moses will be there with his PowerPoint presentation of the Exodus. Won't that be something? Yeah, there you go. Cecil B. DeMille will be humbled by that. Won't he? Yeah. Praise the Lord for it. Sometimes we have the idea that our experiences have been unique. Nobody's ever been through what I've been through. It reminds me of the fellow that survived this terrible flood in Pennsylvania called the St. John's Flood. And many people were killed and houses were destroyed. The rest of his life, he would always try to tell people the story about the St. John's Flood because it made such a big impact on him. And then, of course, this is not true. They're not true. It's an illustration. The story is told of when he went to heaven. He asked St. Peter if he could get a little group together and let him tell him about the St. John's Flood. So he said, sure. So he had a few thousand folks come. And he said, now, before you speak, be aware that that Noah's in the audience. So, you know, when we put our experiences in the context of all the things that really have happened, it puts a new meaning on them, doesn't it? See? Be thankful. Be thankful for him. We're all going back to the dust someday. And we're here just for a little while to be used of God as he sees fit. And here's the third thought. Not only are we to be thankful that he answers us with his grace, and to be thankful that he's aware of our grief, but be thankful that the Lord accepts our gratitude. He accepts our thankfulness and our thanksgiving. And when we gather for a celebration of thanksgiving, such as we do tonight, the Lord rejoices with us. He's thankful that you're thankful for all the things that have been done. In verse 16, he says, O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Lord, you gave me freedom from sin. You saved me. You put me in your work. I owe you everything. thank you. Thank you for letting me have a part in what you're doing in this world. And our tiny little contribution to his great work makes his heart happy. I may have told you on a previous visit about an experience that impacted me so greatly. Our daughter Becky was just a little girl, and you know her story and the very limited use that she has of her hands. And one day my wife was baking a cake for our family's dinner, and she says, "Becky, would you help me?" And Becky looked at her, and she says, "Would you help me try to hold this wooden spoon here and stir this batter for me? Would you do that? I'm going to work on this other thing." And so Becky figured out how to grip that little wooden spoon, and she kind of stirred the cake batter a little bit. And that evening, when I came home and our family was gathered around the table, Becky had this grin on her face. And I thought, "What are you up to?" I looked at my wife, and my wife just, kind of just wait, So when we got ready to have our dessert, Becky was beaming. And I said, "Okay, Becky, what's up?" And she said, "I made the cake." You know what? She did. She had a part, didn't she? And God wants us to have the joy and the happiness of knowing that we had a part. If it was just to hold the spoon, or to have a brief little participation, and surely our lives are brief. In God's great drama of the ages, sometimes we just have a little walk-on role. But he lets us have a part. And the psalmist says, "Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Unprofitable servant." There you go. And that's the rest of us too. We're unprofitable servants. But we're his servants. And he has allowed us to serve in his cause, in his work, in his purpose, in his calling. He honors us by giving us that opportunity. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving." What do we bring to lay before him? Our thankfulness for what he's done for us, for what he's allowed us to do, for what he's allowed us to be involved in. This sacrifice of thanksgiving. "And we'll call upon the name of the Lord." Whatever I do, whatever I'm privileged to be involved in, the Lord. He did it. He allowed it. He ordained it. He sustained it. He kept us through. It's for his glory. Glory to him. And to him only be glory. He makes us a servant. We're not slaves in the sense of being in bondage, unhappy, resistant to his force. It's not the unwilling obligation that brings joy in life. It's the willing obligation that brings joy. Think about our Lord himself. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. Took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The likeness of a man is the form of a servant. God made us to serve him and created us for his glory. He wants us to be thankful for the opportunity to serve him. Therefore, when we make commitments to him, he rejoices in that. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Call upon the name of the Lord." Again, he says, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord." Now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew. Praise ye the Lord. So as we gather tonight and come to the hallelujah of this service, praise ye the Lord. Let's realize that what we're thinking about as we look back over the years is what God has done here. And since God has done this and used your pastor and his dear wife and all of you in this cause. You have every confidence to trust that he will continue and he will bring you through. And whatever the suffering you face and whatever the loss you endure in eternity, it all will be sorted out and rewards will be given and you will rejoice. And the thought will never occur to you in glory that you spent too much time serving God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness and love. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ sang this song with his disciples before he demonstrated what it really means by going to the cross for us. Lord, thank you that you have privileged us to be invited to participate in your great work on this earth. Thank you for Conville Park Bible Church. Thank you for Pastor Winham. Thank you for the impact this church has made in all of our lives and the ministry that you have had to us through your servant. Thank you, Lord, for the happy day when you allowed me to meet my brother, Dr. Brian Winham, and for his encouragement to me in inviting me here and allowing me to participate in what you're doing here. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Matthews and his dear wife, Erin, and for his kindness, and for the Christies and Lees and all the others that have reached out and befriended my family and encouraged us. And Lord, help us all to realize that Christian living and Christian service is in many ways a sort of a mutual rescue as we all struggle along to live for Jesus and serve you. But to know that our help and love for each other is simply an illustration of your great love for us. And how we thank you for it, and how we praise you. And Lord, I don't know everyone that's here tonight. I don't know about their relationship with you. But Lord, I do know that you would save anyone here that's not saved if they'll call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess sin, receive Christ as Savior. They can have eternal life. And Lord, I know that if there's anyone like that here, that would be your heart's desire for them tonight. And the heart and desire of the good people of this church who already know the Lord. Lord, if there's a Christian here who's been discouraged or is worn out in serving you or doubting or discouraged, Lord, I know that if they'll call on the Lord, if they'll call on you, that you'll hear them and you'll take them out of their trouble and give them a rejoicing, thankful heart regardless of what happens in their circumstances. So, Lord, we come tonight thanking you and praising you for what you've done and what you promised yet to do. In Jesus' name, amen.